Dr. Robert Kramer. The title of his presentation is Soil Microbial Communities and Soil Health in Native and Reconstructed Prairie Ecosystems.
Thank you, and I appreciate the invitation to come and share with you some preliminary data that we've collected on prairie systems in Missouri. I'd like to acknowledge my co-authors, Dr. Viem and Todd Lorenz, who have done a lot of work in this area. Why we're interested in this is we want to see the connection between the biodiversity and a hypothetical that is shown here in a hypothetical block of soil with the different types of microbial communities and macroorganisms as well as that interacts with the prairie vegetation and how that prairie vegetation influences the microorganisms. And that's very important because we know that this structure and function is sensitive to land management practices, and that if we conduct a complete soil health assessment, which includes the microbial community characterization, it should improve our understanding of, why we have the current conditions of a natural habitats as they occur, and it should possibly help guide management develop for restoration and reconstruction of prairie ecosystems on soils in transition from crop production or under remediation from other land uses. And it's most important here because when we go to what we assume is a native prairie, we really don't know what the past history of that prairie has been. It could, it may have been burned at one time or it may not have been burned, which burning is a very important factor. When the pioneers came through and were settling, some of the prairies were mowed. How much of that material was removed as hay, that certainly affects the overall potential soil organic matter that was being built up in that system. And there was various types of grazing of different livestock or even just the native North American mammals at the time. So these all affect the particular characterization of these microbes in those natural ecosystems because in some way or another they were indirectly managed at one time or another, or there may be some that are pristine that we need to find out. And often, we have to talk to some of the old, older senior people in the population to get that history, to know what we have when we get to those prairie sites. This depicts on the vast root density under prairie vegetation that can form within the soil profile. This goes down to about 60 centimeters or further. This is under Indian grass, warm season grass, on the same soil that adjacent we have corn planted in it. And you can see that with this corn plant, there's not much of a root there. And primarily, it's the nature of the soil that we're on here. This is a very there is a high concentration of clay in the B horizon here. It's a clay pan soil, so it restricts root development of our crops. But you see how well a prairie vegetation does well, and frankly, that soil should have never been taken out of a prairie ecosystem. But that's just the way economics are. But this does contribute carbon not only in form of different fractions of soil organic matter, but also rhizodeposition of carbon that are used by the microbial communities. And you can see that is not happening very well here in the cultivated system. So in Missouri, at one time, we had over 15 million acres of prairie. Now there's less than 100,000, as you can see here. We've been taking samples from various prairies that have been protected or that the private ownership have dedicated to constant prairie vegetation to get a handle on what are the microbial structures like in those soils. So we've looked at southwest Missouri, which has the bulk of the prairie vegetation in the state. And there are some scattered prairie remnants in the northeast and a few in the west. So I've got examples from each of those, and that's the kind of the source of the data that we'll be presenting. Now, in southwest Missouri, fairly rolling type topography, this is a prairie that is relatively pristine. We have on this is a summit here, down here is a foot slope, and the soils in one prairie side are different. You know, you need to know that when you're going into it. So down at the foot slope, we have a nice deep mollisol. Up here, about 20 centimeters or so, you run into a fragipan of some unconsolidated material, and it's an alpha soil. But the roots are still getting down there. So you would expect that the microbial community in those two different soils would differ. And when we look at the phospholipid fatty acid profiles from these soils, you see that they really don't differ that much. It may be because of similar prairie vegetation at both of those sites. But then when we look at prairie sites at some distance, two different prairies, you know, we're seeing some differences in the overall total PLFA that we've detected there, and we're using that as a rough estimate of the microbial biomass in the soil. The other effect that you see is that there's not much difference between the prairie being burned or unburned at that particular site. And when you look at some of the more specific PLFA components, mycorrhizae, really not that different. It kind of follows the trend of the total PLFA as well as the gram-negative bacteria. And again, there's really not much of a burning effect or an effect due to burning either. So, you know, this is a situation where you're in a very similar region. You have some differences, but they're not beyond what you might expect based on probably the vegetation at the site. That's one of the things that really should be taken into consideration is an ecological site description of what all the vegetation is at that time if we want to relate these microbial characteristics with the site. Now, if we look in that northeast Missouri section, these are sites that were probably within less than a 5-mile radius. This site, I struggle to describe it, how you would describe it. This is where the landowner completely disturbed the soil, trying to take the cool season vegetation out, but he never seeded it with native grasses. But over time, they evolved. So there was a huge seed bank of the native grasses and other native forbs. As you can see here, we have quite a bit of big blue stem, some switchgrass, and other forbs that have developed there over 20 years, over 20 years time length. Immediately adjacent is a cool season area, which is dominated by tall fescue. Now, another interesting place just down the road from there is a remnant that developed in an intersection of a highway that has a dog leg here, and then there's an intersecting county road. Well, folks over time made a shortcut, and you have this little less than an acre piece of soil that evolved into another prairie system over time. Here, rather than big blue stem, we have quite a bit of Indian grass, some switch, compass grass, other native forbs. So that's on an undisturbed site for approximately between 80 and 100 years. So what would you expect to see there when we do a survey of the same PLFA groups that we showed similar previously? In that natural restored or the native seed bank that has also been subjected to occasional grazing and haying, we have a huge amount of microbial, biomass. In that revived remnant there between the two highways, we have considerably lower amount of biomass, and here in the fescue pasture is not much different. And it may be because there is a similar amount of root biomass in the soil. This is something that we have to follow up on, but it was a little bit of surprising that we did not have more biomass under the warm season forbs and grasses that we had expected. And when you look at something like the mycorrhizal fungi, that site that evolved from the seed bank has a huge amount of mycorrhizal fungi associated with it, as opposed to those other two sites, both a remnant and a cool season site. And again, we have to look at, you know, there may be a plant difference, Indian grass versus big blue stem, and obviously we need to go back and take a look at the root structure and ecological site description as well. And we see a very similar trend with the gram-negative bacteria. Those are the only components I'm going to show you due to limited time, but those differences really jumped out. One more example. We have, like as I mentioned, in our area, a very large land area of clay pan soils. And these have resulted in natural ecosystems that are described as hard pan prairies, which that means that there is seasonal fluctuation in moisture surplus and deficit. So this is one of the prairies that is in the area, Tucker Prairie, a non-burn site, a burn site. You can kind of get an idea from the landscape how flat it is, so that the water soil moisture is a big player here. We have reconstructed prairies on the, nearby, and then we have a conventional till agroecosystem in that same soil type, just to show you as a comparison. So again, you know, here you're seeing what you probably would expect in terms of total PLFA with the non-burn and burn site. The reconstructed site is coming up in biomass, and the cultivated site will always be depressed. The total fungi, the reconstructed coming up to the level of the native sites, and I think that's because of the wider carbon-nitrogen ratio of some of the plant residues that are being returned to the soil. But and that shows here with the lower numbers or a content of bacteria, the gram-negative bacteria, not quite as high as the native site, and the same is true with the mycorrhizae, more abundant with the native sites as well. The cultivated site will... And we know that this will always be lower than the rest of the prairie sites. So with that area, we have a lot of information on many other of what we call the soil health indicators or soil quality indicators. And so we're able to put this into a soil health index model, such as the Soil Management Assessment Framework, or SMAF, and run some indices on it. So we've used these different indicators from the different properties of the soil, put that in the model, and to see how this all rates out. And as you can see, the native Tucker Prairie, the burn site, and the native unburned site are the highest rating. And it's interesting that we have a perennial Timothy site that's been in that vegetation for over 125 years. It is also high, and it's probably, again, because of the amount of root biomass that is supporting the microbial communities. The restored prairie ranks very high as well. But then again, as you can see here, with these sites that have been continuously tilled for 125 years, the soil health index is quite a bit lower, as you would expect. So, you know, this is it's encouraging because it helps us understand that you know, the model does seem to work in separating out those differences. We're looking at active carbon as a fraction. I don't want to go, I'm running out of time, but we think that is a good a means of describing organic carbon rather than just total soil organic carbon, and it appears to be related. We can relate this to total PLFA components because the active carbon is where the action is. That's what's associated with the active microbial community. So one last little example. How can you incorporate a prairie vegetation system into a food production enterprise? Now, this is an organic farmer who has put prairie forbs and prairie grasses in her orchard. You can see the orchard row here, the tree row in the early spring. Later on, the prairie vegetation is growing up. You can see some of these trees back there. You know, it's not for a big large-scale operation. This is for someone who's willing to go fight the vegetation and pick the apples. But it has improved organic matter over the 15-year period in the orchard alleys, as you can see here. And it has improved considerably the microbial components, as shown here by the PLFA groups, especially the mycorrhizae that we see here are much improved in the organic orchard with the prairie system compared to the conventional and with the cultivated control. So, in summary, you know, we're finding that soil health assessment is useful in describing the sustainability of natural ecosystems. The ecosystems comprised of native vegetation rate high relative to conventional systems. Soil microbial analysis can supplement the current indicators, and we hope at some time that we can include that as a soil health indicators in the index. The microbial community is significantly altered by cultivation. That's a no-brainer. The microbial response to transition, to restore and reconstruction, to revive ecosystems is complex. You know, we still have to explain some of the data results we're seeing, and the composition has a major impact on microbial community structure. Thank you.